Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to London Heathrow's Terminal 5. Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened until the fasten seatbelt signs have been switched off. Thank you and a very good morning.
When we arrived in London, we stayed in a B&B for the couple of days that we're over there. And that's really where we did a lot of our planning in terms of how we were going to interview the women, the questions that I was going to ask them, and I suppose just a general preparation that you would do for a documentary like this. So the first day we went up to Bournemouth, we got the train to Bournemouth, and we met with Kathleen Legge.
I was married for 38 years, and my husband never knew that I'd been in a home like this. I never told him. He often wondered why I was having such bad nightmares. And even my children now, nobody knows. I've never been able to tell anybody. I felt that I didn't even speak to my doctor.
You were sent into a training education centre for girls, wasn't that it?
Yes. But this leads you to believe that it is a proper training college or convent. But in actual work, it was real work. Because you worked all those years and all those hours, and you never had a penny in my pocket.
How is it that you came upon that you ended up in the laundry?
I was 14. I was living in Tipperary, and my grandfather needed to bring his son in. So he asked my mother that she would need to take me to Dublin, where she was. And so that's what a friend of hers knew where St Mary's Convent was, and that's why she put me in there. But she didn't actually know what was happening in the convent.
What do you mean?
She didn't know it was a laundry. She just knew that they took children in. And of course, she didn't have to look after me.
Right.
Which was the main thing, really. We just met the Sister Fidelis in the reception room. And I was taken away. And within half an hour, I was working in the laundry. In the calendar room where they iron the sheets.
Run us through your daily kind of routine of living in the laundry, like.
When the bell goes, you get out of bed and you kneel down by your bed. The nun comes in praying, and so you join in the prayers. And she goes from one room to another. And once she leaves your room, then you get up, you get dressed. Then you go to the washroom and wash yourself, come downstairs. And we always wore cloaks, either a green cloak or a blue cloak, if you were a child of Mary. You go into Mass. Mass is usually probably half an hour. After 7 to 8, you go and have your breakfast. There's usually a nun sitting in the podium, and she rings a little bell when you start your meal or when you finish your meal. And then 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, you would go to wherever you had to go to do your cleaning. It could be a long corridor, which I very often scrubbed, or it could be the dormitories or the dining room needed to be cleaned. And the bell went again, I think it was probably about 1 o'clock, where you had your lunch. And the bell would go again about 2 o'clock, you would go back to work. And I think possibly 3 o'clock again the bell would go, and 5 o'clock the bell would go, and you would line up in the hallway and you'd have your meal. And after that you would go into the chapel. But you never had anything to eat again until the following morning until you had your breakfast.
What made it so awful?
It was only in later life that I realised what my life had been like. I was 14 when I was in the 14, 15, probably, and 16. And you accepted it, that was the kind of life that other people had. You didn't know any different because I didn't really know what the outside world was like.
Did a nun or anybody ever say to you, Kathleen, you can leave at any time?
No.
Were you ever encouraged to leave?
No.
When you look back on it now, what kind of feeling does it bring up in you?
Anger, a lot of anger, particularly against the two nuns, Sister Frances Bernardine and Sister Fidelis.
Why particularly them?
Because of the way they treated me. In my case, when the two nuns approached me, it was always in the corridor. The other girls were at work, so there was nobody about. And I never told anybody that the two nuns had stopped me and taken me into the playroom. I'm probably there for probably about 10 minutes talking about me.
What were they saying?
The quiet ones are always the worst ones.
So they were kind of picking on
you? They would speak amongst themselves to each other. They would look at each other and speak amongst themselves.
About you?
About me, yes. I just stood there and listened, and then when they told me to leave, I just walked down the room when they told me to go.
And how often would that happen?
It happened about probably half a dozen times. And I've used to have a lot of nightmares, very, very bad nightmares when I left. And it was always somebody, I don't know whether you want to know about it or not.
Yeah, of course I do.
It was always somebody, when the nightmare started, I would wake up screaming. It happened a couple of times when I married. There's always somebody in black standing by my bed. And perhaps this goes back to the time when the man from the mental hospital came into the room that I was sleeping in. The nightmare is always somebody in black standing by my bed.
Did you feel that you've missed out in life?
Yes. Yes, I have. No education, to begin with.
When you say no education, explain.
Well, in my early life as well, as I told you about my childhood, I didn't get a very good education. So it continued on. Well, there was no education at all in St Mary's. There was no opportunity to read, which I would have liked to have had some books. There were no games, no puzzles, which would have helped you, which would have passed the time. And there were no birthdays, of course. You never knew when your birthday was.
Oh, you never had a birthday party?
No. That was unheard. We didn't even know what day was my birthday was. I didn't know what day of the year I was born. I didn't even know what... I didn't know until I saw my birth certificate when I was actually born.
But why didn't you have anything? Why weren't you given the opportunity? Like, who prevented that?
There was nobody to talk to. All the time I was there, I never saw the Reverend Mother. The nuns who called your number, or sometimes in the laundry, were young nuns, and they would just come and probably just look into the laundry and that was it. Or come and call your number at night, or wake you up in the morning, or call your number when you went to bed.
But why wouldn't she call your name?
She wouldn't call your name.
Why?
I don't really know.
Do you have any happy memories of being there?
No.
Not one?
No, not one.
Honestly?
Yes, not one.
No, that's fine.
I always felt, I was always very unhappy there. If there'd been any a fire or anything at night, but there was nobody to call on, there would have been a lot of trouble probably.
Why?
I don't think we would have survived. The only communication at night time was a doorway at the end of a large dormitory with a bell, which we never rung because there was never any occasion to ring it. But if there had been a fire or anything there, there would have been no way we would have been able to get out.
Did you ever go to a funeral in the laundry? Was there ever a funeral? Did anybody ever die?
Yes, there was the old lady I was telling you about, Jane. I did love her because perhaps she represented my grandmother. And I did love, and I felt I would do anything for her. And I, even though she was blind and she was deaf and dumb, and I sat at her while she was dying. And I remember seeing the funeral men coming, but I never went to, we wouldn't have been allowed to go to the funeral. She could possibly have been about 70 or 80. So she spent most of her day sitting in the kitchen. She sat at her little table in the kitchen, and that's where she spent all day. And we would, and the girls in there would look after, put her food in front of her and help her.
And did they teach her how to read or anything? Or no. Braille?
No, there was nothing like that. Perhaps I feel my life is coming closer to the end. I feel I want to do something. I want to tell somebody what happened to me. I don't want to just die and nobody knows anything about us. It's something that I want to leave, that I want to know everybody to know what really happened in Ireland and during those years.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.